What's going on, everybody? It's your boy Law from the Art of Storytelling, Tales by Law, and welcome back to another episode of What's Your Story. This week we have part two of Marquise and Leia. It's an incredible story of each person as individuals, their beautiful love story as a married couple. They have so many dynamics. It's incredible. Like, I do not regret this at all. I'm so happy to be sharing this with you. So happy that I got a chance to work with them. Without further ado, man, this is their story.
Yes. Which I'm like, kind of like, I don't know how to feel about it, because I wasn't super on Vine, but I enjoyed Vine for, like, you know, the quick burst.
And
like
King Batch.
Yeah. Mine was Zachary King. Am I saying Zachary King right? Yeah, I think it's Zachary King, the guy who does, like, a lot of magic. Like, he'll be in a frame, and then he'll look at the thing.
Yes, yes.
That's so cool. Dope.
Yeah.
I was gonna say, have you guys heard the term multi-potentialite before?
What the fork are you talking about?
I'm not showing you guys a video.
What is that?
There's a TED Talk that explains it, and it's essentially when you're a kid, you're so into a lot of different things, and you never really nail it down. We commonly know as jack of all trades.
Yeah.
Right. So, but multi-potentialite just means you have the ability to do almost anything. But you haven't really locked down one specific thing because you are really good at multiple things simultaneously.
Okay.
Yeah, I think that's very true to also our generation. For sure.
Mm-hmm. I was gonna say, like, do you see that, like, as a thing more so now, especially with, like, our generation, because of, like, what we have access to, and I feel like it's what we have access to and what we need to do in order to survive, because I don't think, as a generation, like, we grew up, like, college is the way to go, like, mm-hmm. do this, and this is what you're gonna get, and now we're like, so, I'm supposed to get this, and you guys said we're gonna get this, but I don't have it, so what am I supposed to do?
Yeah.
So we're kind of, like, making stuff on our own now, and because of it, we're like...
100%, I think that also back in the days, it was special when people went to college, you mm-hmm. know, like, it wasn't, like, 95% of, I don't know the percentage, you know, but mm-hmm. It wasn't normal to go to college.
Right.
A lot of people just were, like, trainees and did, you know, crafting jobs or mm-hmm. something like that. So I think, yeah, nowadays it is more, like, the norm to go to the college, but therefore you need a lot of money as well. Especially in America. And I think...
I feel like you're going broke to, like, be educated.
Yeah.
And it's like, dude, like, I just want to learn.
Yeah. Facts. And that's so sad, guys. Like, America, get your shit together.
Yeah, how different is that for you? Like, when you went to school in Germany, like, you graduated from there, like, have your degree and whatnot.
So, in Germany, it's like that. You pay around, I want to say, like, 200 euro, maybe, like, 270 for 6 months of college. So, it's like...
Maybe 300 bucks.
That's
nothing,
ridiculous.
You know? And a train ticket is included. You get most of the materials online, like, books and stuff.
I wish. Books cost, like, rent.
Yeah. Plus, the cool thing about Germany is that it's more about the grades that you have or the amount of work that you put in. So if you go to a public college,
mm-hmm.
that is more valued than if you would go to a private college. Because the private college you pay more money for, and people are like, oh, so you bought your grades. So,
okay.
And it's way easier. Like, the private colleges, the classes there are way easier than if you go to a public college. So, for example, if you want to be an actor and you go to a public college, you're more likely to be seen by agents than if you would go to a private college. So, it's not about the money. And no matter how much money your family has or where you come from, you can get education and you can get really good education if you want to and put your energy and mind to it. So... I think it's amazing.
Yeah. Hashtag America needs to get their shit together.
100%.
Oh, man.
I'm on that hashtag all day.
Three schools up, three schools dropped out of. This
yeah.
guy right here. I feel like it was a situation where school didn't really work for me in that capacity because what I wanted to do, I couldn't necessarily learn in school. And then from what I can learn, it wasn't something like so exclusive to school that I needed to learn at school. So I was just sitting in classes going, I'm wasting money and time where I could just be doing. Like,
I agree with that as well, yeah.
And we've kind of reached that point where it's who you know, what time and energy you put in. Mm-hmm. And, you know, people, like my sister, she came out of college and had a degree and people were like, that's nice. Where's your experience? And it's like,
what are you supposed to do?
I don't have that experience. I was in school this whole time.
This is insane.
And by the time you get out of school, everything's changed.
Yeah.
That's true.
You know what I mean?
The whole business has changed.
I went to college because they gave me a full scholarship. Mm-hmm. So for me, it was money. I saw the money. It was a good school. And I calculated it over the course of 4 years, made it five, got the money. I was basically paid to go to school. Mm-hmm. I didn't really take it too seriously, which I wish I would have, but I kind of did the bare minimum and just kept getting my checks and enjoyed 5 years of my life and then left and looked back and was like, fuck, I should have paid attention. It would have helped a lot. But, you know, a lot of the knowledge bled off on me. And so now, it's weird. Now that I'm out of school, I'm actually I've done more of the research that I was forced to do in school.
Right.
But I retain it more because it's something I'm looking forward to doing and using. Because
you're using it. Like,
exactly, you know? So, but yeah, I mean, I think that our generation, we do have the potential we're lucky enough to be able to do multiple different jobs. Mm-hmm. One, because we have the internet.
Right.
Like, I was thinking about my dad today. He used to make juices in the crib, like a juicer, you know, fresh pressed juices.
Right.
And they always were disgusting. And I was like, today I Googled a recipe and I was like, let's try this. I made it in the juicer and it tasted delicious. It tasted like celery, lemon, ginger, right. Lemonade, you know? And I was like, holy hell. Like, my dad's stuff wasn't good because he didn't have Google.
Yeah.
He couldn't just look up ingredients. He was like trying to figure out if carrots and cucumbers work together, you know what I mean? And no, they don't, you know?
Yeah.
So we're exposed to way more.
Mm-hmm.
And like, we know when someone's looking for a person to do a certain job to get the money to do that, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, we're lucky.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
We're really lucky. You were talking about
multi-potentialites.
And it made me think of Jack from The Incredibles 2.
Yeah, absolutely.
And when he's a baby, he was a multi-potentialite.
And you know how their names are derived from all their powers?
I just saw that. I got that insight just now.
So violet, ultraviolet rays, and light,
nice.
You know, the light spectrum, dash because it's fast, obviously. Mm-hmm. And Jack is essentially jack of all trades.
Yeah.
So Jack has a lot of powers because he's jack of all trades.
We didn't know that until he showed us.
That was my boy.
Which one do you like more, Incredibles 1 or Incredibles 2?
Don't put me on.
It's tough, right? It's hard. It's hard.
It was funny, like, I feel like I love them so much, both. I kind of like put them because it feels like one long movie.
It was.
It, you know, so, you know, I can't really separate them. They happen like right after, one right after the other. And I waited so long. Like, I was.
Dude.
You know.
How many years was it?
Almost like 11, 12 years.
Gah!
Yeah, absolutely. Like, I remember. I have a nephew who's going to be 21 this year. So he's 10 years younger than me. But when we were kids, like, when he was a baby and I was a kid, like, a lot of stuff he was into, I was into.
Yeah.
And I remember introducing him to Incredibles, Lilo and Stitch, and all these movies. And now, like, they're getting, like, Toy Story 4. And all these movies that we're talking about, we're like, we will punch kids out of the way. Go see this movie.
Oh,
this movie is not for you.
It's
for us.
Facts.
Like, you guys don't know. You guys don't know the struggles of having to wait, like,
facts.
For this movie for how many years.
True.
So I'm going to have a kid. I'm going to introduce him to Incredibles 1 when he's 5. And then I'm going to make him wait till he's 16.
Oh, my God.
To watch Incredibles
evil. 2.
So you can't see it.
That's I heard that about Endgame. Everyone's like, they're going to introduce their kids to, like, all the movies. But play them out how long it took them to watch them.
Oh, my God.
So they essentially take these 11 years to watch all 11 years to watch all these movies. And then you have to wait after Infinity War. You have to wait 1 year to then see.
Just
no,
make them
you
suffer.
Wait.
Suffer
we
how
did.
I suffered.
That's Schadenfreude.
We wait Schadenfreude all the way.
Schadenfreude is a really...
Uh, Yeah.
Is it working?
Yeah, we're good.
Okay. We're back.
For sure. Okay.
Short break. Schaden. Freude.
Yeah.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Yep, that's
Schadenfreude.
It's a good word to know.
Well done, sir.
Thank you. I try. You have an interesting story because you have. Listen. So.
I did it for the girls. I did it for the girls.
But, like, so we're in career panel and they asked the question, like, who are our mentors, kind of thing. And I was like, cool. My boy, Hutch is the man. Like, you guys have heard the podcast before. Hutch is that dude.
He's just a good dude from what I'm hearing.
Yeah. Like, my wish in the world is to introduce Hutch to almost everyone.
Yeah.
Either if, like, you just hear about him on podcast or video form. Yeah. Like, you just need Hutch in your life.
Hutch, you're the man.
Shout out to Hutch.
But, like, yeah, he goes, so my bro, Joe Manganiello, and I was like, I was beside myself clutching pearls, like, excuse me?
Shout out to Joe.
So,
the homie.
How in the world, like, are you guys in the same circles?
So I went to Carnegie Mellon University, okay. And when I graduated, we have a showcase at the end. I went to school for acting. And when you graduate, you have a showcase in LA and in New York. So it's, you go perform, and agents and managers and casting directors all come to a theater and watch your show.
Mm-hmm.
All of the seniors do it that year. And then after they finish, they put together an entire list of who said they wanted you to come in to meet them, who said send their headshot and resume, and then, you know how you did in the results.
Mm-hmm.
After I finished, I had broken the record for Carnegie Mellon for the most responses ever gotten in a showcase.
Ooh,
I know. So,
okay.
So everyone, it was cool. Yeah, you know, I'm owning it. So everybody gets a big brother, a big sister from the school, from okay. someone who's graduated. And for me, they were like, yo, we need to contact Joe because Joe did the same thing.
Wow.
Joe just blew it out of the water. And when he graduated, he immediately went and shot Spider-Man.
Oh, hell.
Oh, wow.
He was Flash.
Flash Thompson. McGuire's.
Yeah.
That's crazy.
Yeah. And then, so they were like, yo, you need him. So I hit him up. He ended up coming to my showcase. He watched me perform. We talked in LA,
mm-hmm.
invited me to his crib, and we just became friends. Like, he really helped guide me through what was, he was already famous, you mm-hmm. know what I mean? And he was just like, yo, this is my story. He told me his story. He did well
mm-hmm.
for a couple of years. He had drug and alcohol problem. He got blacklisted from Hollywood.
Oh, wow.
Then he worked in a quarry, and then he put everything he had in a busting his ass again and getting back into it when True Blood let him audition.
Wow.
And then he went in. He's the first person in, last person out. And then he was only supposed to be there for like 2 or 3 episodes. They wrote him in for like
yeah.
3 seasons because he
just
busted.
Yeah, I love this character.
Great werewolf.
Yeah. It, you know, and so he taught me that. He was just like, man, you gotta work. He was like, you gotta work. And I didn't fully understand. And then he said to me once, he was like, Marquise, like, he was like, are you Robert Downey Jr.? I was like, no. He was like, do you think a studio is gonna trust you with a multi-million-dollar film to carry? And I was like, no. He was like, then you need to work harder until
right.
you get to that point. And that's something that didn't sink in for me until maybe, honestly, like 2 months ago.
Wow.
It just sank in for how much I need to put in the work. And now I'm in the gym 6 times a week.
Doing his book.
But what kind of mentor is he? Is he like the... I usually equate Hutch to like the old anime one who's like
uh-huh.
really wise, but like super an asshole. They'll just be like, hey, do this thing.
Yeah.
And I'm like, all right, so I'll struggle with this thing. And I'm struggling. And he just goes and he does it and shows me how to do it. He goes, I just said do this. You're being mad extra with everything else.
Yeah.
It's so simple, but you overanalyze and complicate it. And he just sits there and laughs. He's my favorite, like, you know, mentor that I've had over the years. And he just goes, I was waiting for you to figure that out. Like, there's so many times where I'll be like, Hutch, I got it. He'll be like, I know.
Yeah.
I'm like, oh, come on, let me just have one. Is Joe the same way?
Joe is like, you ever watch Hunter x Hunter?
That's one of my favorites.
So let's say if I was, let's say, Killua.
Yeah.
Then he's the woman who trains them. You remember the girl?
The
100-year-old girl?
Yeah, like Bixby, I always forget her name. Something like that. Yeah.
He's like, you have to do it this way, and you need to do it hard all of the time. Right. And if, like, you don't...
That's a cool break. Let's do it again.
Yeah. Also, what's a break?
Wow.
Yeah. And he'll call me. He'll be like, hey, what are you doing? And I'm like, hey, you know, I'm just, you know, just headed to work. And he'll just smile. He'll be like, why? I'm like, yeah, you're right. It's like, what are you doing? Like, are you work? You know?
Are you working towards something?
Are you working towards something? And then I left L.A. and he was just like... He was like, if you'd have stayed in L.A., you'd already be successful. And I didn't. I did exactly what he did. Did well in the first half. Took 7 years not doing well. And now I'm going into my 30s. Turned 29. I was just like, let's go. So by the time I'm 30...
You guys have very similar, like, paths.
I think I just kind of marked myself after what he had.
I would say almost the same for us. There's parts of his life that I can't begin to even try to replicate.
Yeah.
But there are times where he'll call me and be like, yeah, you're pretty much where I was at this time.
Cool.
Like, you know, shy of him having kids and, you know, being married, our paths are very similar. And, you know, I'm fortunate that I have a mentor like that who, like, kind of just like, you'll be all right.
Well, and I have a question for you guys, because I feel like this is also very specific to America, having a mentor, because I don't really think... In Europe, we don't really have that as much.
I was just gonna ask you if you had one, like.
And I didn't. No. Really? So, like, what do you guys think? How important is it to have a mentor? Like, and what did it? Do you think you'd be at the same point in your life if you didn't have a mentor?
No, I absolutely 100% know for a fact that I wouldn't be here in this room with you guys if I didn't have HUD in my life.
Yeah.
Like, I always tell the story, like, of how I met HUD, and it was like everything was like. He doesn't believe in coincidence.
Mm.
And I could have met Hutch in 2011 Comic-Con had I just further, like, went into, like, the main floor.
Mm-hmm.
But I waited, and I didn't, like, go to the main floor, and I essentially met him 2015.
Mm-hmm.
So 4 years later, I then meet him at a random show because a couple months beforehand, I bought some of his artwork at another show that he wasn't there for.
Wow.
And he saw me and my little Robin Hood get up and was just like, hey, Robin Hood, right? I was like, you're the first person who told me that. He was like, I'm an artist. Like, I can tell you're not Green Arrow because you look like Robin Hood.
Yeah.
And the other thing, so we started talking. I was like, oh, I have some of your art, blah, blah, blah. And we just hit it off. And,
cool.
You know, it's one of those things where I know for a fact any deviation from the path that I was walking, I wouldn't end up here.
Yeah.
But I'm really grateful to have a mentor because it's kind of, it's not so much a safety net. Like, there is a lot of times where I fall, but I don't think he like cushions the fall or doesn't allow me to fall. It's one of those, like, he helps me get back up and shows me, like, the bigger picture.
Okay.
You know, like, I'm fortunate enough that, like, you know, in these last few years where I've had a lot of my highs and lows, you know, I've been able to just pick up the phone and be like, dude, like, and have 7-hour conversations where his wife is like, really? You're still on the phone with Lawrence, you know? And, you know, we'll talk, and I've had that ability to really grow. Like, I've seen, you know, myself from, like, my early 20s to now, and I feel like I'm looking at 4 different people ago,
mm-hmm.
you know?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Is that about the same for you?
It's very similar. I understand completely. For the mentor is important. I think for Americans, a mentor is important because we're not, you know, as 2 black men, we're not just considered Americans. You're in Germany.
Yeah.
You're when you go to work and do work and everything, you're doing it for Germany because you're German.
Right.
You know, they're prepping you to That's be a part true. Of that country.
Yeah.
For us here, it's different.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
I understand.
So having a mentor is great for us. We have someone to look up to,
mm-hmm.
someone we know that has kind of had the trajectory we've had.
Mm-hmm. So is that common though? Like, is, for example, like, do all the college graduates get a mentor? Or how is that? I don't understand the concept even.
Oh, interesting.
Well, I feel like you got your mentor because of your program, where I think I've always gravitated towards, like, a mentor type, but I've never really found that mentor that I was really looking for until Hutch. Like, I've had people who have been, like, ex-bosses of mine or, like, you know, my bigger, like, brother or sister, quote-unquote, and they've been close to where I wanted to do until, like, it really was, like, me getting into the world of cons and being introduced to this whole new world where I was just like, oh, this is what I wanted to do. Like, I've been doing swimming for so long, and I thought that was my path. So life was like, listen, you sure? Because there's another option. And I was just like, oh, okay. And then Hutch comes along, shows me this whole new world. I can't believe I just said that. without singing it. But he shows me, like, this whole new world, and essentially, you know, like, he, like, opened the door for, like, so much possibility that I don't think I'd, you know, be able to do if I was doing it by myself.
Mm. Yeah. Yeah.
That's really cool.
That's, yeah, I didn't realize that that's not a big, like, I feel like I've always looked for that. Like, like, it makes the journey a little bit easier.
Yeah. I believe that, 100%. And you also learn from each other, I think, you know? You probably also...
Even a bad mentor is still a good mentor. as weird as it is to say, if you can take a lot of the lessons you learn, or a lot of, like, the failures, essentially, and make it, like, a lesson learned, like, you'll still come out. Like, there's people, like, I've worked with or been under, and I've, you know, been in management before, and I'm just like, that's not how I want to do things. Like, yeah. That's not who I am.
I think that's always, you know? Yeah, it's really important to know what you don't want to do, mm-hmm. and you know, that's a good lesson for sure. I agree with that. Yeah.
It's just as important as knowing what you want to do.
Yep, it's kind of the same thing.
Yeah. Well, knowing what you don't want to do is definitely, yeah, it is kind of the same thing.
Right.
But yeah, a bad mentor will show you things that you can avoid later on.
Absolutely.
You know what I mean?
Agreed.
Absolutely. Alright, closing off. How long have we been doing this?
We've been on for about an hour and 6 minutes.
Wow.
Wow.
Yeah.
Okay.
Wow, that
not
moved.
Bad.
Yeah. That's usually how it goes down. I want to wrap. Give me your best, like, story. Like, the funniest story from kids growing up, or just, like, a really fond memory that sticks to head into your mind that, like, you're just like, this is how I know I'm me. Story.
This is how I know I'm me.
Was that profound? I feel like I did good.
Whoa.
Sometimes I'm an okay host.
No, you're a good host.
Thank you.
Well, do you want to start?
All right, this is how I know I'm me. All right, so they say when you do something, if you put everything into one thing, the universe conspires to help you. When you go for gold for something. Everything that I've ever done or wanted to have happen has happened for me bigger than I could have possibly imagined. I mean...
It's one of those things where you go, universe, I want this. And they're like, you sure? Because I got you.
It gives it to you. 100%, yeah. And I think the biggest one for me is... auditioning for college. Yeah, auditioning for college and being like, I knew in high school, I was like, yo, I'm gonna get a full scholarship to college. Doesn't matter how, doesn't matter where, I'm getting a full ride to college.
Okay.
April, I was already going to one college, Oklahoma University, and I was only gonna be there for, they were only giving me maybe like a half scholarship or something like that. Carnegie Mellon then came and did their Southeast Regional auditions at my high school where I was doing clerical work for the head of my school, who was one of my mentors at the time. They asked me to audition. I said no. They said, just go for it. I was like, okay. Then they flew me to Carnegie Mellon, and then they sent me a full scholarship. And I still was like, nah, I'm good. Wow. Like, I'm not, I don't. And then my mentor at that time was
like,
you need to do it. So it's like, it's the faith in knowing that in the presence, knowing that if you ask for something, you will receive it.
Mm-hmm.
You definitely, if you ask, you'll get it.
Absolutely.
Be careful what you ask for.
Yeah.
That's how I know I'm me.
This is how I know I'm me. I think I know I'm me because for me, when I moved to New York, it was interesting to see how I am still me without all the other people that constantly mirror who you are, that know you from when you grew up, you know? Mm-hmm. And I love them so dearly. But I think when I really found myself, that always sounds so dumb, but is when I was by myself, you know? And I was like in a different country. I didn't know anyone. I didn't have any family here.
Mm-hmm.
And I was like, oh, so I'm still that person who is very curious about everything. And And I always, like, when I have conversations with people, that's how I know that I'm a good journalist or a good interviewer, because they tell me, like, their life stories in, like, a second. You know, I meet someone and they're like, yeah, you know, and then, you know.
That's essentially our walk out of career day. We're just like, wow, there's so much happening.
Yeah, and so, like, I think when I realized when you strip everything away and all the safety nets you have and all the people that constantly tell you, oh, you Leia, you're like this. You know, and you still like find at your core, this is who you are.
Mm-hmm.
Is this like open-minded, open-hearted, curious being? Then that's really who you are. And I was like, this is me. I am that. Like I'm that.
I actually have a. That was really nice to say.
You have a yes and.
I have a. This is how I know I'm me. A real one.
What?
The one I said I thought was it, but it isn't.
Okay.
Oh, that was beautiful.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Go for it.
Did I inspire you?
You did inspire me. Inspired. Thank you so much.
These guys are disgustingly cute.
Thank you.
Disgustingly
cute. Not at all times, though. We also fight sometimes.
Yeah. So I've always been a spiritual being in some way.
Okay.
My dad passed away when I was in college. And when he passed away, I was practicing lucid dreaming at the time.
Mm.
And I had a dream one night that started off...
Can you explain that for those people who may not know?
True. A lucid dream is when you go to sleep and your subconscious mind merges with your conscious mind. So you're able to go into your dream and wake up in the dream in order to control the dream. And you can see what's going on and you can remember it. So that's what a lucid dream is.
I love how you just looked at the mic while you were telling this story. He's
explaining it to the audience.
I was talking to you. hello. So in the dream, I was in a basketball game and the basketball court turned into a football field. And then I looked up and I saw my dad in the corner. And he, like, waved me over, and I was like, oh, man, I'm in trouble. Anytime he does, I'm in trouble. So I walk up to my dad, and all of a sudden, the dream goes lucid. So I know I'm in a dream.
Mm.
And I look at my dad, and I go, I should have run to you. You're dead. He goes, it's okay. We don't have time for that. And I was like, okay. And he goes, what is the epitome of laziness? And before I could answer, he goes, someone that lets all of their talents go to waste. And I said to him, it's better on the other side, isn't it? And my dad looked at me, he said, it's so good, I wish I could kill you.
Wow.
Take care, Chief. Then he walked down and left, and I woke up bawling. At that point, I knew I had to go study with monks and nuns of Plum Village, with Thich Nhat Hanh, this Vietnamese Buddhist master. I just knew. And then I went and on my spiritual journey. And that dream is how I know.
Wow.
I am me.
Yeah, that's much more.
That's more who I am. Yeah.
Yeah.
Wait. First of all, we're going to take a second to, like, absorb what you just told me.
Digesting,
for sure. But also, that led you on a completely different path in that new form of conversation. Wow. So, when you guys were doing your training abroad, what essentially was that? Like,
the meditation? Mm-hmm. So Plum Village is a monastery, basically, with monks and nuns.
Mm-hmm.
And the practice is from, you get up at 6 a.m.,
mm-hmm.
you go have tea, you're in silence, 6:30, you go meditate with the monks, if you're a man, nuns, if you're a woman. And then you go have breakfast in silence, and then after 20 minutes you can eat. Every 15 minutes this bell rings, where you have to stop and take 3 deep breaths to bring you to, just to say, I'm right here, right now.
Mm-hmm.
And then you go and have a Dharma talk. A Dharma talk is when someone comes and talks to you about the Buddhist teachings or of life and the concepts of, you know, compassion and empathy and love.
Okay.
And then you do working meditation, which is being present while you're working. You do walking meditation, which is being present while you're walking. And then you have some free time, which I went and did Kung Fu with one of the, like, a Shaolin monk. And I studied with that dude.
That's... What? Like, yeah. Like, a understand when I first said like this is gonna be like a really dope episode, like
get ready for another hour.
It very well could be, but you guys have like such interesting things that like I feel like because of certain things that like kind of bumped you onto a path, you guys would have ended up completely different places 100%. And like
yeah,
you know, doing completely different things. Like
yeah.
And interesting enough, I think for both of us, it was the like death of a near person
yeah.
that kind of brought us like closer to our spirituality or the belief that, you know, more for me that like the present moment is all that we have, you mm-hmm. know, and then actually living that and let like, you know, a lot of people have these like doormats that says carpe diem,
mm-hmm.
but they don't really live by that, yeah. you know, it's just a dirty doormat.
Absolutely.
But really living that, I think. That's like my
well said.
Yeah.
You know, with this, with the meditation practice and the presence practice, you know, it's really like that was like 12 hours a day, 10 mm-hmm. hours a day, and now maybe I'll go about 2 or 3 hours a day of meditating, and then I'm present as much as possible.
Mm-hmm.
But I can, things have happened that just like are. I've had induced states within a meditation where I open my eyes, I'm indoors, and I'm holding a teacup inside of a forest looking up at a sun, and I open my eyes and I can still feel the heat from that sun, but I'm indoors.
Right.
It's like I've merged my consciousness with someone else, or I don't know what it is, I don't know, but there's such a sense of peace and connectedness and interbeing, and the web, you can just move through the web, mm-hmm. or completely. And when things start to work out, like yesterday, I was on a train.
Okay.
Subway. Went down to the subway station. This
and
late.
As we all know, subways in New York City, garbage.
They're garbage, especially the G train. G train stands for garbage train.
Ghost train.
Yes, there it is. There it is. So there's this lady from the Upper East Side who's here in Brooklyn,
mm-hmm.
and she's like, excuse me, sir. I'm like, yes. She's like, do you know how to get back to Manhattan? She's nervous. I'm like, yeah, I got you. So
she's like, where am I?
I spend some time with her, get her from the G train, 2 stops to the L train. Then I get her there, and I'm like, I've dropped you off. Take care, my love. You know, she's like, thank you so much, darling. Right. I'm like, great. So I get on the subway, go to where I'm going,
mm-hmm.
and then I get off the train. And when I get off the train, I have a voicemail. And the voicemail, I listen to it, is the producer of the TV show Impractical Jokers. And they're like, hey, can you come tomorrow to shoot an episode as an actor? We're pulling a prank on Sal, one of the guys.
Oh,
call him back.
Dope.
I'm like, hey, man, yeah, I'm available tomorrow. I don't have rehearsal. He's like, great. This is what we're doing. This is the pay rate.
Mm-hmm.
Be there tomorrow. And like, I'm sitting there and I'm like, the next day I asked, like, how did you find me? He was like, you submitted to Impractical Jokers maybe like a year and a half ago, but we don't put up new things anymore. We just go through what we already have.
No way.
And I just saw you, and I was like, this guy looks cool. So there's something going on that's outside of my power.
You forgot, like, you just kind of just did it and forgot about it.
This was a long time ago. Like, this is a year ago. I submitted for something
right.
on backstage the website, and
okay.
he just found me. Mm-hmm. So, you know...
And you helped out someone who needed help.
Right after I helped someone.
And, yeah.
That's... Wow.
Yeah.
Stuff like that always happens to us, though.
It
like,
does.
Yeah.
You have one of those, too?
Well, actually, when we... So, we went to Dominican Republic last year. And we just asked... We were just like, we want to... Because we have this, like, love and hate relationship with New York. Or I do. So, sometimes it drags
Same.
Me
you
down.
Too.
You know? And then other times, I love it and it's inspiring. And then it's all about the mindset, though. You know, when you're like, oh, New York is so exhausting, then it's going to be exhausting, you know? But we were at this point, kind of. So, we left for Dominican Republic and decided to stay a month in Dominican Republic. And all we did was kind of, like, ask. We were like, we want to... create our own reality, we want to meet cool people, we want to be just like, just be,
mm-hmm.
you know? And then all of a sudden,
you want,
like...
You want, like, the resort experience.
Not at all,
yeah.
So, and then all of a sudden, I just post a picture on Instagram, because I said, you know, I'm just going to post a lot of pictures, let's see where this goes. And we did, and hashtagged, and then all of a sudden we get a message, and someone asks us if we want to stay at in the rainforest. They have a treehouse village. And if we want to stay there for free, And for a week...
And live your best Peter Pan life?
Exactly.
That's exactly what it was.
And
that's
just for awesome. In exchange, do a photo shoot with them as, like, a married couple. They
that's
were like,
amazing.
Yeah. And we were like, of course. And stuff like that just kept happening because we were so aligned and in flow with the universe, you know, or whatever you believe in. But just being, like, positive and asking for what you want and manifesting it. And I think that was so beautiful because, like, that was the first one. Then we ended up at another place that we first didn't even find because it was so hidden in the rainforest. Then we made friends with the guy, and he was like, actually, I need a photo, I need a video for my place. Do you guys want to stay another week for free and just shoot the video for me? And we're like, hell yeah. Now we're friends with him and we're organizing a retreat there and like
that's beautiful. Like,
yeah.
That's so dope.
Yeah. All of that just because we were like, let's just do it.
If you trust life, it'll take care of you.
Yeah. And also there's always like kind of this like lore of the darkness that's like, no, don't do this, you know, because we had different we were first in a place where that was really touristy. We met some cool people and they asked us to come like spend a weekend with them. And they were really nice, you know, and we were so like grateful that they invited us.
Right.
But something inside of me was like, I feel like we should just go on our own, rent a car and just like see where the wind is going to take us, you know. And that was such a good decision because we met all those other awesome people, you know.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's all right, I have life quotes that I live by, like I swear by. And I had this before Hakuna Matata, according to my mom.
Uh-huh.
So that's no worries. Mm-hmm. I've been saying no worries for as long as I can remember. And fuck it, that I also adapted when I was like, maybe like 19, I want to say. What are yours, like, that you feel like are your, like, life models? Because you guys have to have something that sticks out to live this kind of life that you guys have been living.
Well, first, when we started this Dominican Republic thing, we wanted to call our Instagram that we made for it, Fuck It Namaste. Because we were like, fuck it, you know, just be like, do what you want to do.
That's beautiful.
And then, you know... But then a lot of people are like, oh, there's profanity, and, you know, you can't put that
on
Instagram. Yeah,
and then Instagram will let you promote pictures if it has profanity
in
it. So it's just like, we're just like, the way of the wind.
Yeah.
It also works.
Yeah.
I liked Fuck It Namaste better. But.
Because it's more of this, like, it wasn't negative, it was more this, like,
I mean, it could be your hashtag that you guys use.
That's true.
That's true.
Yeah.
Hashtag or just like the quote for the show, like kind of thing.
Yeah, and also we need to make sure just we create that and take it so no one can steal it if it does blow up.
Yeah, don't take that. I will fight you.
We'll find you, son. Get you. I have a very special set of skills.
What's your quote to live by?
My quote is from Thich Nhat Hanh. It is, this is it. Because anytime you say it, it always is. And people who are looking for enlightenment, people who are looking for happiness, people who are looking for the future, stuck in the past. Mm-hmm. Like, no matter what happens, everything that you want or everything that you need or everything you that exists is in the here and now. And this is it. There's nothing else than right now. So I live by that.
I got final two for you guys.
Cool.
We're going to wrap this thing up real quick. Oh, we'll see. This has been awesome. I appreciate you guys for like letting me do this. This is so
fun.
Thank you, man.
Honestly,
thank you.
This is so much fun.
What is the one nugget of information you would give your younger self?
Ooh, I love this question.
And you can use any like age. I don't like want to play specifics.
Yeah.
So any age, or actually, I'll throw in a little monkey wrench, courtesy of my boy Tommy. So you have to give your younger self a nugget of information, but explain it to them like a five-year-old.
Explain it to a five-year-old?
Explain it to them like they're a five-year-old. So you can't get too crazy.
Okay.
Got it.
So two words that came to my mind immediately were trust and forgiveness. And I think, how do I explain it to a five-year-old? I think trusting that everything happens the way it's supposed to happen and that everything works out the way it's supposed to is just the most peaceful approach for me, because then even if something bad happens, I always know this is a learning experience, you know. Or, but how do I explain that to a five-year-old? Maybe if someone steals your shovel at a playground, but you wanted to build a nice castle, then maybe you weren't supposed to build that castle because it would have rained just a minute afterwards and it would have been destroyed anyway. So you built the shovel when you built the castle with a new shovel, you know, another day. I don't know. Like, I think it's important to just trust that, to trust the process of life. And if you give yourself into that, everything will just like come together and be also less painful, because sometimes you have throwbacks or sometimes something doesn't work out the way you want it to work out. But it's always for a reason.
Absolutely.
Damn, I think I have to practice my skills to explain things to kids.
I'm constantly around kids, so it's second nature for me at this point.
Unpopular, I guess. I wouldn't. My 5-year-old self, I'd talk to him and just be like, hey, it's gonna be rough.
Well, you said something like that in the career day panel. You said, I'm trying to remember how. You kind of were like.
No, he really said depression.
Yeah, right.
That's yeah.
I wanted to get real, like, and we were just like, oh.
Yeah, I mean, like, it's, you know, everyone can say good things, but, you know. For my 5-year-old self, knowing what he's about to go through,
mm-hmm.
I'd just be like, hey, it's going to be tough. It's going to be really tough. And I would tell him to do everything he did. Like, I'm proud of...
Okay.
You're going to be all right. I'm proud of my 5-year-old self. Like, he did well. So I'd just be like, I don't think I could have given him any advice. There was... If the more he knew, the harder it would have been. Maybe stay ignorant would have been.
Yeah.
Stay, don't learn anything.
The burden of knowledge.
Yeah, man. You don't need to know. Keep your head down, jump high. You got this.
Keep selling candy.
Sell more candy in school.
Sell more candy and give the money to the teacher.
Oh, yeah, don't. Well,
no,
that was. Not her client.
Everything worked out.
You could have never done ballet.
Yeah.
Right.
So, where can I find you guys? Where can they find you guys? What projects should we look out for? This is time to plug and promote.
Hell yeah. So, my blog is www.leahgeschwinder.com, which is my name. It's, I know it's called.
Well, I'll have the link in the bio.
Yeah, cool.
Just text me. All right.
And there you'll find my poems, you find the interviews that I do, the on camera interviews that I do, and the poems turned videos. And then my Instagram is at LeahSophia with PHG. LeahSophiaG.
Nice.
And YouTube.
Oh, yeah, and YouTube. The YouTube is just my name also, Leah Gershman.
Okay, so cool.
Yeah.
I have all that underneath.
Yeah.
Elite. Mine is, my Instagram is at MonkKeese. It's like a monk and Marquise together. My SoundCloud is also MonkKeese. That's where you'll find my song that Spike Lee bought for the Netflix series She's Gotta Have It. It's called Tree Killer. I put some more music up there as well. And that's pretty much it. That's Monkeys just across the board.
Okay.
Any
upcoming projects that we should like be listening out for, watching out for?
I think we're always working on something. I think if you guys are in New York, you're interested in meditation, we always do those meditation events, and it's really cool. It's really, I don't know, not cool is not even the right word. It is what it is.
This is it.
This is it. But if you're interested, definitely contact us on Instagram, and we'll send you some links and stuff. Otherwise, I mean, poems are just always coming your way if you're subscribed to my blog.
Yeah. I'll be dropping music
all the time.
I'm in an off-Broadway play called God of Mars that opens in June.
Sweet.
God of Mars with a... I think it's with an S. It's with a Z?
Yeah.
Oh. Yeah, it's with a Z. So if you want to come see a play in June, godofmars.com, you can get tickets or just contact me. And you can catch me on Impractical Jokers on season 8 in a few episodes.
Oh, I'm also on that, by the way, but I don't know which season.
You're season 8 too, think.
Cool.
Yeah.
Nice.
Yeah, we're doing our thing.
Alright. That's awesome. Thank you guys for being a part of this, sharing your stories and your experiences. I'm pretty sure if you guys want to come back, we're going to have you guys back.
Right?
I actually want to have you guys on the other show for the Geek Ronin show, because that would be so much fun. So we could
That's better than you guys.
I wish You guys can see the video, like, of, like, Mara's face. Yeah. It just gave me, of like, yes, I keep rolling it for doing it.
Facts.
Yeah, that's your guys' thing. He just introduced me to...
But it's always good to have, like, that outside newbie. Like, where you're just, like,
true.
You look at it with fresh eyes. We're jaded. We're so, like...
Yeah.
Whatever. At this point.
And then he's just like, wait,
Tony Hawk. Tony Hawk. You know, he gets that a lot. Like, he'll go...
Tony Hawk,
like, will go... And then be like... he'll, like, give his ID. Uh-huh. And he'll say Tony Hawk, like... Oh, that's cool. Your name is Tony Hawk. Like, there's a famous skateboard. He's like, I know. Like, what happened to that guy? I hope he's still alive. Like, I wonder.
That's hilarious.
Oh, man.
Like, just like,
his Instagram. I remember his Instagram. His Twitter on that. Like, he has, like, a little post. Hilarious. Shout out to Tony Hawk, man.
Yeah,
shout out to Tony Hawk.
That reminds me of, sorry, one thing I have to say before
go
we
go for it.
Yep.
Do you know Mr. Bean?
Yeah.
So he was at this, like, place where he wanted to buy a new car, and then there was this other, like, three guys looking at cars, and they're like, you really look like Mr. Bean. He's like, yeah, I am the actor that played. No, but you really look like him. You could, like, be, you know, his, like, light, what is it,
doppelganger?
Yeah. And he was like, no, I am. And he, like, no one believed him. And he was like, no,
that's,
I really
that's,
am.
That's always such a crazy like, thing, like, when people are, like, convinced that they're not the person.
And
I'm just
like, what?
I would just say, yeah, like.
Oh, yeah? Cool. Yeah.
All right. Well,
that's why you look like him, because you are him.
What are the odds?
Well, what's that? Alrighty. Yeah,
thanks for having us, brother.
Yeah, thank you.
Oh, that was so much fun.
Cool.
Peace out, everybody.
Peace out.
Peace.
And welcome back. I hope you guys enjoyed that as much as I did. I had such an incredible time, such an incredible ride with them. We went all over the place, but having three people on the show, I've realized, gets to go all over the place and back again. And it was just beautiful to see and experience. Links will be in the description below so you can follow them. Please show them love and support. They are dope people that I'm so glad that I got to meet the way that I did. Yeah, it's been real. It's been a lot of fun. Thank you for your patience. Thank you for the love and support. I hope to have more for you guys soon. Be sure to follow me. Be sure to follow them. Be on the lookout for projects coming out soon. And as always, follow your path. I want to take a moment and thank InBeyond Studios for sponsoring this video. Guys, with my code TALESBYLAW, you guys can save 10% off of anything in our merch store. You guys can get comics. You guys can get prints. You guys can save money on the InBeyond Con tickets. You guys can save, if you want to be an exhibitor, artist, you guys can save that way 10% by using my promo code. Check them out. You won't regret it. Love you guys. Thank you for the support. Peace.